بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله الطاهرين الطيبين. السلام عليكم dear brothers and sisters. I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts all of our worships, our fasts, our prayers, and I hope that and pray that He provides us with more opportunities in this month to be able to take advantage, engage in supplications, in thought, in remembrance, so that inshallah we can make the best of this month. On the 10th day of the month of Ramadan, the Ahlul Bayt have taught us the following dua. We say, Allahumma ja'alni fihi minal mutawakkilin alayk, waj'alni fihi minal faizin ladayk, waj'alni fihi minal muqarrabin ilayk بإحسانك يا غاية الطالبين. It's a very beautiful dua, as all of them have been so far. I will repeat and reiterate that as we progress through the month, we see that the duas have some progression in the types of requests that we have. What we begin this dua is with asking God to give us tawakkul. Allahumma ja'alni fihi min al-mutawakkilin alayk. Make me one of those that has tawakkul over you. We hear the word, or has tawakkul on you, relies on you, as we say. When we hear the word tawakkul, when we hear even the translation of it, we hear the English equivalent of it, which is usually reliance and relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not sure if we really understand what that means. If we really even conceptually understand what we're doing when we do that tawakkul. It seems to me the understanding we usually have of the concept of tawakkul is something similar to prayer. In other words, there's this almighty God that has powers, and then there's me and everybody else. And so I'm doing my thing, I'm doing my work, I'm trying to give what I'm doing 100%, or I'm giving it some of my energy, I'm working towards what I'm trying to accomplish, and I'm trying to use God's help. That's the word we also use, God's help. So I'm doing my thing, I have my strengths, I have my thoughts, I have my understandings, I have myself, I have my belongings, I have my connections, my friends, other fellow human beings, and then we have God. God is someone that is a lot more powerful than I am, a lot more powerful than my connections are, my acquaintances are, my colleagues are, my family members are. And so when I want to do something, I try to refer to all of them. I use my own abilities, I go to my family members, I go to my friends, I go to my colleagues, my acquaintances, I'll use whatever I can. And then I'm told, since I'm religious, I believe in God as well, and I believe God is very powerful and has a lot of might, so I call upon Him as well. And usually, actually, we see that there's more importance given to the effort I put in, more importance given to the acquaintances we have, more importance given to people we speak to and help we get from them. And then if we remember on the side, we will address God and ask Him, God, please, I really need this, help me out. That's pretty much, I think, a summary of the way we understand this concept and the way we address God, the way we feel towards Him. Whereas the concept of reliance on God couldn't be further than that. That is not reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Reliance or if I use the word tawakkul, tawakkul is basically to give your work, give what you want done or what needs to be done, your needs, to someone else to take care of. If you give it to someone else for them to take care of, make decisions on, and carry them out with regards to your affairs, that is called tawakkul. If you, for example, want to buy a car, and you give your credit card or your information to a friend, an acquaintance, to someone, and they go and do some research and figure out what the best car is, and then they go through the process, they get the car, they purchase the car, and then they come and give it to you, that's tawakkul on that person. All right. When we're doing tawakkul on God, it means the same. It means that if I want sustenance, if I want to live, if I want education, if I want to be a good person, if I want a family, if I want a house, if I want whatever it is that I want and I need, in trying to accomplish that, and even in knowing what to want and what not to want, in all of that, I do tawakkul on God. He said, God, you take care of it. You take care of it. But there's a difference between tawakkul on God and tawakkul on another human being. And that's where, in that first explanation we gave, the flaw exists in that understanding. The way we view our relationship with God is similar to the way we view our relationship with other fellow human beings. That's where the problem lies. We see the same way that, okay, if a human being does it this, then they're taking care of it, and what do I have to do with this? Nothing. I just had to ask them, they take care of it, I just don't do anything. And we apply that, we say, okay, if that's the meaning of tawakkul, and then we want to do that towards God, that means that I sit at home and I ask Him, and I say, God, can you take care of my affairs, whether it's finance, whether it's a home, whether it's other needs, cure of illnesses, whatever it is. So I don't do anything with this, and that doesn't make sense. I do need to do things. Things are not going to just come about. And so that can't be a proper understanding. So I don't really address God in that way. I do what I need to do. I get education. I go into the workforce. I work hard. I earn the money. I buy a house, a car, I get married, and so on and so forth. But the issue is that our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not the same as the relationship that we have with other fellow human beings. The relationship between me and a fellow human being is that of independence. We are 100% independent of one another. What he does has nothing to do with what I do. What I do has nothing to do with what he does. If he's taking care of it, then I'm doing nothing. If I'm taking care of it, he's doing nothing. If we come together and join and do it, both of us are active. But both of us are sharing that responsibility, are sharing that work and doing it together. With regards to God, it's very different. The way our relationship is, He's our Creator. He's our Rabb, our Lord. He's the one that constantly, every second, is giving me life, is giving me and who I am, my very existence, my abilities, my talents, my sustenance. It's all coming from Him. It's all coming from Him doesn't mean that I don't do anything. No, what I do is from Him. It's something that we have to fix up in our mind, in our understanding. When I do tawakkul on God, I'm saying, God, I even am your means. I am something that is at your disposal. I am someone that is created by you. Other than what you have given me, I have nothing. So what I do, the movement of my hand, the movement of my mouth, my thoughts, everything is coming from you. I am handing the keys over to you. You take care of this. Okay. I'm feeling that way and I'm understanding it. Does this mean that, okay, so he's taking care of it, I'm not? No. While I'm taking care of it, I see this as being God's help, God's will manifesting. And you start to see more and more how, when you have that understanding, when you have that belief, when you feel that that's actually the case, and therefore you really feel that all praise is due to God, you see that things start happening differently. Before, you were so worried about what's going to unfold. You were so worried about the results because you thought you're the one that's going to take care of it. But then once you do this tawakkul and you give it to God to do, you're still involved. You don't get removed from the picture. But now you're doing it as an agent of God. You were understanding that you're doing this as an agent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you'll see the barakat that come from this. You'll see that how God makes things happen out of the blue. Honestly and really, it happens in that way. I don't have control over it anymore. I see that without me planning things, things are coming together a lot better than when I was trying to plan without this tawakkul. I'm still trying to plan, but I'm planning with tawakkul. Even in my planning, I'm saying, God, you're the planner. I'm an agent. You do it, I carry it out. You guide me, you take my hand in that. This is the meaning of tawakkul. And it's one of the greatest beliefs. Amir al-Mu'mineen has a saying, and he says, one of the four pillars of true faith is tawakkul on Allah. If one can reach that state that they actually feel in every step they take that they're doing tawakkul, that is huge. And one of the practical results, other than what we've already mentioned, of tawakkul is that the person will not be stopped by the obstacles that they see in their way, or how huge the project is, how grand the project is, the work is, the taklif, the responsibility is. It doesn't matter anymore, because I'm just working as an agent of God. He's taking care of things. I'm just working as an agent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is an important understanding that needs to manifest in our actions. Be there as the source of my decision making and my actions that I take. It's a very important dua that we have here. Second dua, second passage of it, the second one is وَجْعَلْنِي فِيهِ مِنَ الْفَائِزِينَ لَدَيْكَ. Oh Allah, make me one of those that has succeeded before you. Success is not something which comes easy, is not something that everyone gets. It's a very difficult path for someone to, in the end, be able to say, I've achieved success in life. A lot of us, our understanding of success is even wrong. When we arrive at that point where we thought that was the definition of success, when we get there, we get it, we realize we lost. True success with God, before God, that's why that's being mentioned. Al-fa'izun ladayk, someone that according to you is successful, has reached victory, has been victorious, and the battles that they had to face in life, the battles that they had to make, that they had to face in decision making, what path to take, which one not to take, people saying one thing, God saying another, and choosing the right one, and in the end being successful, like the companions of the Holy Prophet. As an example, believers today as well, there are those that are reaching that. But I want to use this historic example that everyone would understand. We say, Ya laytana kunna ma'akum fanafuza fawzan azima. We wish we were with you. They all got slaughtered, they all got massacred in Karbala. At first glance, there it seemed that they were not victorious. But we say, we wish we were with you, and we would have been successful, we would have been victorious the way you were. Al-fa'izina ladayk. Before God, in God's eyes, we have succeeded. That's huge. Very important dua. Third dua, وَجْعَلْنِي فِيهِ مِنَ الْمُقَرَّبِينَ إِلَيْكَ. I think we've talked about taqarrub a number of times. And we see this repeated, because we need to repeat that, reflect upon it, understand it, and truly want it. Truly want to become one of those that are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How would you feel if you were told that you're the one of the five people that are close to the Imam of your time? How would you feel if you were to be told that you're the one of the five people that has personal contact with the Imam and is able to sit in sessions with him, discuss matters, the Imam speaks to them, asks them how they're doing things, and gives them instructions? If we love the Imam, if we realize who he is, and you really want to be with him, the Imam is one of the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Imams themselves take pride in and love being in the presence of God, being in the company of God, being one of the muqarrabeen, being of those that has that close connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's something to long for. And these days of the month of Ramadan, we should be reminding ourselves so that by the end of the month of Ramadan, our objectives in life have changed. I hope we're able to accomplish this in this month. Right now, our accomplishments and our directions are not really towards taqarrub ila Allah. That's not the goal of our life. That's somewhere, maybe, if we have it in mind, it's maybe 3rd, 4th, 10th, 100th priority. It's not top priority. It's not the first priority. Whereas this should be the first priority. Everything else should be in light of this. Everything else should be in line with this. We're asking all of these bi ihsanik, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kindness. We're asking him through his kindness. He is muhsin. He is kind. He shows kindness. That's one of the attributes of the divine. Kindness. Through his kindness, again, we're asking this, and then we call upon him and address him in this way. It's important, as we've had in previous du'as as well. The way we address Allah, it's our understanding of his, of him, and it prepares our hearts for becoming the recipient of the great requests that we are having in the du'as. So what is it that we call God as in this du'a? We say, Ya ghayat al-talibin. The ghaya. Ghaya is the end. That which is the final, the best. If you categorize and if you rank what you want, the highest rank, the last one, the top. Ghaya. Ya ghayat al-talibin. One that, talibin, those who are seeking, what they really want is you. What they really want is you. We hope that we become those that can call God in that way and feel that we are seeking him, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.